youth. But a message that I believe can benefit all of us, and I'd like to talk to you about the importance of friends, friendships, and I remember going to Bible school for the first time in my life. That was years ago, to Calvary Bible School. It was the first year I went, and I was sort of nervous and scared, and I don't know, Ben, were you along that time? Ben Pate, by the way, and I traveled together to Calvary Bible School years ago. I think we're about the same age. But anyway, so we've known each other a good while. But hey, I remember getting there, and things were strange, and lots of new people, and I just, but I remember a young man from Kansas. It was, for those of you who are older and might know, David L. Miller's son, Ronald. Ronald is now a preacher, but Ronald was an outgoing young man, and he just came up to me and introduced himself, and just as friendly and considerate and kind, and then he even taught me how to introduce others or me to others. He actually took me and said, "Now this is my friend so and so," and then he would go over here and he said, "Now this is so and so," and that made a lasting impression on my life. And it was just something about that was a blessing to me. Everybody desires and needs friends. And but the possibility of someone here tonight in this group of this size, there could easily be, with so many people here, it could easily be that someone is still quite lonely, could feel very alone, could feel, but God made us for companionship. Bible says it is not good that the man should be alone. And I think that's in a broader sense as well. But particularly, man has been made for relationship, friendship, companionship. And you notice it all throughout Scripture. Many of God's men and women had friends. Moses had an Aaron and a Hur that supported him. I'm sorry, Aaron and Hur and a Joshua. I'm not talking about a woman. I'm talking about Aaron and Hur and Joshua. David had a Jonathan that he was a close friend to and was a tremendous help to him. Daniel had three friends that stood by him. Peter and John forged a powerful team there. Jesus had a team of 12 men that were his followers and friends. Paul had many friends. Especially who helped him in his times of persecution. Phoebe, it says there in Romans 16. Phoebe, a servant and a helper, and he mentions her name and gives her some commendation and words of appreciation. Verses 3 and 4 in Romans 16, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila, and who risked their lives for Paul's sake. And salute my well-beloved Epaphras. I'm not sure if I'm saying that, but correctly. But he names different people, friends. Now, friendships take on new meaning in the body of Christ. Jesus said that a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And I believe this new commandment is a self-sacrificing love. It's a command. Friendships don't just happen. They are built. How do we build lasting friendships? We'd like to look at some of those principles. First of all, I'd like to turn to John 15. And we'd like to look at our relationship with Jesus being foundational. John 15. Let's read verses 1 through 15, 1 through 11, sorry. Maybe we should read 1 through 15 at least, or 17. There's a number of verses there. Notice the connection between us and our Father in this passage. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And I want you to notice how often the word abide is in this chapter. Someone said abide should be our middle name. Gary, abide. Well, that's good. I like that. But let's keep abiding. Let's look at verse 5 here, the last part. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Notice these truths about friendship. The Lord Jesus describes how essential it is that we are connected to the vine, connected to him, that we abide, we cling, we stick fast, we live close, we get near, and we abide in Jesus. Young people and all of us, just learn to find your satisfaction and security in Jesus. I just want to be in him, and I just want to be accepted of him, and I just want to please him, and it just doesn't really matter what other people think. Well, I think we need to be, we need to take that right. But really the most important thing is, what does my Father think of me? Am I pleasing the Father? And Lord, Father, I just want to be near you. There's a direct link between love and friendship. Greater love hath no man than this, verse 13, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes. It was a sacrificial love. He laid it down, Jesus did. He laid it down not only for his friends, even for his enemies, so that they might become his friends. This is what the commandment of love, that new commandment that Jesus is talking about. That new commandment. As I have loved you, so you love one another. That means loving our enemies. Powerful example. Jesus loved sinners. No, he didn't love their sin, but he loved sinners. And I don't know that he was extremely intimate with them, but he loved sinners. He ate with them. He talked with them. Remember Zacchaeus? Tax collector? Cheater? And but he loved people like that, and he won his heart. They became his friends. The Holy Scriptures tell us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's easy to love someone when they love you. Yeah. But our enemies, when we're not lovely, that's harder. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It's an amazing, humbling truth, isn't it? He wants to be our friend. Verse 15, I want you to notice that. Henceforth, once you yield yourself to me, and once you abide in me and my commandments, and you start loving me as I and loving others, henceforth I call you not servants, verse 15. But I've called you friends. We start out as servants. Ye call me master and Lord, for so I am, John 13. Jesus is our master, he is our Lord, and we are his servant. Way to look at it that way. We're his servant. We're not worthy of being anything else. But Jesus, friends, Jesus said, I've called you friends. I'd like to share some things with you. I want to get just a little deeper. I want this to be a little closer promotion here. Somewhere, and I don't know where I said, I have told you all things. Is that there in verse 15? But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Yeah, I think that's the verse I want. I'd like to share some things with you. I trust you. Are you going to be able to keep it? I've got some things I'd like to share with you. And then in chapter 20, and it doesn't really say that here, but I think there is another step to even a more intimate, closer relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus resurrected and Mary met him at the tomb there, Jesus said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, verse 17, but go to my brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and so on. I think that's even a more intimate level there. Brethren, that I'm part of the family now. I'm an heir. I'm a brother. I think that's a beautiful progression there. But Jesus calls us his friends. Jesus confirms his friendship by sending us a gift. Is it verse 26? I want you to notice that. Verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He gives all his friends a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In the Greek, that word comforter is the parakletos, if I have it right, which means the one called alongside. The Holy Spirit, a gift that is always with me and will guide me and will teach me. What a blessing. He will testify of me. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, his spirit, that we are the children of God. Biblical friendships are not simply based on mutual attraction. Rather, it's based on loving others because God loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That's found in 1 John, and I didn't look up that scripture. But if I have it correct, the Greek text there simply doesn't just include him. It says we love because he first loved us, making it even broader. We love him, but we also love this way. We love because he first loved us. And 1 John 4:20 makes it clear that if a man says he loves God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. It works both ways. It's a little bit like a crossword puzzle. Until both the vertical and the horizontal lines are finished, it is incomplete. And so it is in relationships. If we love God, a vertical relationship, then we will love our brother, horizontal. They go together. Can't have one without the other. And notice, the goal of friendship is so that we bear fruit for the glory of God. Verse 8, here it is, my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Oh, we need fruitful young people and older people that just have the fruit of the Spirit seeping out of you. And it's overflowing, and the joy of the Lord is just coming out, and his love is just there, and there is just a temperate spirit about you, and there is just, you're just full of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating that to others. Well, true friendships begin with a commitment to be a friend. You know that little verse in Proverbs, and I'm going to use a number of proverb verses tonight. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, this doesn't just mean that you show yourself friendly to those who are friendly to you. But you take a genuine interest in others, just like you have to me. Who's responsible when a newcomer comes into this church? Well, I would, what do you think, usher? I would say I'd make sure he gets to that person first. But you know what? We all are. Every one of us should take the initiative. After church, you just make your way over there and meet him. Newcomers come in. You be the greeter. You go over and introduce yourself and invite them to sit on the bench next to you or sit at the table to eat with you. It's so important. You take the initiative. And I can't be totally biblical here. The Bible says, greet the friends by name. And I have a hard time doing that here. I just haven't learned it all yet. But I would encourage you. There's something about saying a person's name. God bless you, Johnny. Hear that. Greet the friends by name. Someone might be standing off to the side, nervous, shy. Make it your mission. Make it your responsibility to befriend that person. There's very, very possible that there's a lot of lonely people out there and just need a friend, someone that develop friends. Avoid cliques. That's true. It's true that some people are easier to love than others. Yeah, it is true, but that doesn't give us any excuse not to relate lovingly with others. Reach out to everyone you meet, particularly, I'm talking about everyone. In a setting such as this, even when you youth are together, relate together. Don't go off and just two, three of you, and you're really tight, and you know, we're close, and you make sure everybody else knows you're really close, and you know, and that's not the time to do it in a setting like this. There are times for close relationship, close friendship, but when you're together in a public meeting, a gathering, Don't highlight that. Should Christians have best friends? What do y'all think? I mean, Jesus said, ye are my friends. Does he have best friends? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We're a family. We're all friends. And if I start, and the Bible says if I single out brother here, me and I are closer than some of you, and I mean that could be, but we're a family. And we're not supposed to lift one higher than the other. We're not, you know, I think you get what I'm saying. And now I understand, we do have closer friends. You understand? Jesus had some close friends. Lazarus, Mary, Martha. Often visited them. But I don't think it was a click necessarily. I think there was an openness there. People understood it. But the Bible says God hath placed every member in the body as it hath pleased him for the good and edification of each one. It's wrong to think that I don't need your input into my life. And some people might think, you're just too late. You're just too liberal. I'm not going to associate with you more than I have to. Or we could have the opposite. I don't agree with you. You're always voicing your concerns about drift and dress and, hey, we are friends, brethren. We be brethren. Even though we may not see things quite eye to eye. Young people, brethren, sisters in the church, a friend ought to encourage us in the Lord. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's just like a good, hearty, stimulating discussion. Doesn't that just do something for you? Puts the cutting edge in our lives, makes us more effective for the Lord. I think about Jonathan and David's friendship. You know, Jonathan could have been jealous of David, but he was a close friend. 1 Samuel 20, he knew Jonathan would be next on the throne. And these two souls were knit together, the Bible says. He risked his life for David. He encouraged David. And there come a time when Jonathan was gone. And David, what a dear friend he was, turned around and just did a very kind thing to Jonathan's son. Jonathan's son was a cripple. And he took Mephibosheth and brought him into the palace, the king's house, because he was his friend's son. And he was there all the days of his life until he died. I think that's noteworthy. In the Psalms, you find David often casting his care on the Lord, placing his trust in the shepherd, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's where you and I need to go to. He focused on the sufficiency of God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Psalm 27. Are your friends stronger in God because of the times they spend with you? Doesn't necessarily mean you need to be constantly talking about the Lord or Scripture, but I would sure like to encourage you and bless you young people for any interest you take in talking about your own experience, what you had, a blessing, and I've seen some of it, what the Lord has showed you in Scripture, you know, maybe what you had in devotion. It don't have to be anything astounding, just and just asking. And I remember a young man years ago, a friend of mine, that just asked me from time to time, "Well, Gary, how's it going?" And I knew what he was talking about my spiritual journey, and just very simple, but talking about helping each other, and sharing, being accountable to each other. What are your discussions about? What are you absorbed in? Sports, money, job, music, girls, boys? I don't know. I hope not. But talk about higher goals than just that. Sometimes your friends may be discouraged. Point them to the best friend, Jesus. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Even in spite of your failures, what a blessing a friend can be and pray with you. And that's found in Proverbs 17:17. Friendships are often demanding. It calls for a real commitment. Just much like Ruth, I thought of Ruth, the Moabite, and how she was committed to her mother-in-law. She said, "You know what, mother? Your people are going to be my people. Your God, my God. I've seen him work. That's what I want. I'm going to die with you. That's what I want." Standing by her, helpful, loyal, faithful. Paul was blessed many times by friends like that. There's one in particular. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. I just want you to notice this. Notice what Paul has to say about this friend. 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. He particularly points out Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. I believe that's correct. I'm in 1 Timothy. Now that's why it didn't look right. 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelius and Hermogenus. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." We need more Onesiphoruses, don't we? That was a true friend. But Paul specifically puts about three verses, dedicates it to this man, and how that he was such a blessing to him. Friendships include trustworthiness. Proverbs 17:9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Being able to keep something confidential is very important, because gossip and slander are one of the quickest ways you can ruin a friendship. There are some things, young people, and may I say even older people, there are some things that may not or should not be passed on, even if you know it. I have wondered, and I know good friends enjoy talking to each other, but you talk to, you're on the phone for an hour and a half or two, several times a week. Is it possible that some things could be said that shouldn't have been? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I think sometimes we're, and I'm all for it. I'm all for friendship. We need it. But they have their limitations. And I've just wondered, going to that extent, if we're not causing and falling into some of these very things here. Well, what do you, and digging for information, and what do you know about this? Well, yeah, I heard, and before you know it, you know, there's a gossip going around. You don't mean it, but you talk about ever so many situations. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. But I do want to encourage you to be honest. In a right way. We need to open up ourselves. We need to share. And sometimes we stand to get hurt. Friendships include trustworthiness. Sometimes we're vulnerable to get hurt. We're misunderstood. And so there are people that just clam up and they don't share because they don't want to get hurt. So they just bottle everything up and they just zip. But they're very lonely people. There's all kinds of things inside and they don't have anybody they can trust because as soon as, they, you know, it just, and they just get hurt. And someone has said, I think there's some truth to it, your relationships are as deep as they are open and as shallow as they are closed. If you're not open, if you're not honest, if you're not transparent, very likely you can be a very lonely person. But we need to be careful with that. There's a limit to it. I think we do need to be careful. Psalm 1 points out we need to be careful who we counsel with, who our friends are. There's the ungodly. There's the scorner. In fact, Proverbs talks quite a bit about the scorner. Don't make friends with the scorner. The sinners. Don't receive counsel from them. A man's character is reflected by the friends he chooses, who you like to be around. Proverbs 27, verse 19, as in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Just as water reflects your image when you look into it, so your character is known by the friends you choose, those you associate with. Folks, the Word of God is true. Those young people you allow, you mingle with, basically how you're going to become, largely. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Evil communications or associations corrupt good manners. So be careful about relationships that are not good. The example of Solomon, and his relationship with these women, all these women he had, they took his heart away from God. And it can happen today, not just with women, but the wrong kind of friends. All of us do need counsel. So it's wonderful to get counsel from friends, isn't it? Especially somebody that's close to us, and they can relate with us and pray with us. But your close friend may not be your best counselor. May not be. Proverbs 30, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I want to encourage you, seek out someone maybe a bit older, a bit wiser. The aged men. Listen to their advice. 1 Peter 5:5. I will that the younger submit to the elder. That's a principle in Scripture. Yea. I want all of you to be subject to another. I mean, it doesn't mean that you think, you older ones, that you have all the answers. You too need to submit to one another. But the principle is there. younger, submit to the elder. Make friends with older people. I love to see that. Turn to Titus chapter 2. I think there's a principle there about that as well, a principle in relationships. Titus chapter 2. I want you to notice how Timothy, you know, young Timothy, or yeah, I believe it was Timothy, was it Titus? And Titus was a leader. I was thinking Timothy, but it's Titus. To Titus, yeah, verse 4 of chapter 1. So this was written to Titus. He's exhorting Titus in chapter 2 now. Titus, I want you to speak those things. Thou, the things which become sound doctrine. I want you to talk to the older men and tell them to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Titus, I want you to speak to the aged women, the older women likewise, that they behave themselves as holy women of God, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. Titus, I want you to tell the older women in verse 4 that they should teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. I thought that was interesting. Tells the older women to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own parents, or their own husbands, sorry, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus, teach the young men likewise that they should be sober-minded and be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, they know what they believe, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. Isn't that interesting? Sound speech, young men, that cannot be condemned, and so on. But it seems to me there's an order here, not necessarily older to younger, but yes, I think there is. There's a pattern for God's people here. And I think as it relates to church life, friends, we look out for each other. Yes, we do. Remember Rehoboam when he became king. He said, I'm going to ask the young men. He asked the older men first, what do you think I should do? Lighten up or get stricter? Said they lighten up a little bit. Young man said, get hard. You know, really lay it down. Things did not go well with him, did it? At times we need to warn, we need to rebuke, we need to speak the truth in love, even if it hurts. And that's hard, especially for friends, brothers and sisters. It's hard. You respect a brother, it's hard to go talk to somebody. It really is, and it ought to be, but we need to. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It depends a lot on how you approach someone, too. But I think we have a responsibility to each other. Brother, you might just say, I think we ought to commend each other. You know, Daddy back there, I don't know whoever you are, but I noticed you took your boy out 3 times. I don't know if you spanked him or not. I know he's a little fussy, but I just want to encourage you to keep it up. That's such an encouragement to a young father. That's tremendously encouraging. But then there's times when you might say, Daddy, I just saw your boy up there behind the pulpit. He's just tearing around. I wonder if you shouldn't maybe pull him back there and make him sit down and try to be quiet. We're going to get offended with that? I don't think we ought to. We're looking out for each other. 2 Thessalonians 3. Turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians 3. We're friends. We're a brotherhood. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That phrase stands out to me. Admonish him as a brother. Josh Yoder, one of our churches there, a good friend of mine, made a comment here some time ago in a message. He said, failure to admonish one another is one of the first signs of apostasy in a church. And as I thought about that, I think there's some truth to that. I think there's a lot of truth to that. The concept, the idea that you leave me alone, I'll let you alone. And we get scared of each other and we don't want to talk to each other anymore because, well, yeah. Brethren, when that starts to happen, there's no more brotherhood, are there? No more accountability. Everybody out there for their own. We just let things go. Verse 6, I just noticed it said, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we or he received of us. That's not a withdrawal of love. We're to admonish him as a brother. That's a withdrawal of his spirit, of his rebellious spirit, his selfish spirit, or whatever the problem is. Withdraw from that spirit. Don't let that go on. But admonish him in love, I think would be the context of that. Let's not forget to admonish one another. And that's one of the reasons we gather daily. We're not looking for something to say, but we want to help each other. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's go back to Proverbs 1, and let's just look at some of the negative peer pressure that we may face. Proverbs 1. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. Ah, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Ah, we're going to make a lot of money on this deal. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Out to make quick gain. Learn to say no, young people, moms and daddies. We gotta learn to say no. Not a pious, self-righteous, but lovingly, firmly say, no, I will not compromise. And God is looking for young men and women like that. He really is. I don't know where you stand. I don't know where you stand on going to movie theaters. I hope you don't. I don't know. I don't know where you're at with all of that, but I'm just going to share my heart. Your friend asks you, hey, let's go out and let's go look at a nice movie, good movie. Just how should we respond to that? I don't say I have the right, but I would like to encourage you not to compromise your convictions. Stand up. We need young people that will stand up and not just say no. I mean, I don't believe in doing that. But you might say, I really would like to go with you. Offer him another alternative. Why could we go out to eat? Meet you out there at the Cheese Nook there tomorrow morning at 7, something like that. Those are just some suggestions, but friends can entice us to sin. They can allure you, and especially to an easy life, quick gain. Don't fall for it, young men. They can, some of these business things, and be careful about these pyramid sales. Get rich quick. I mean, watch the money roll in, you know. Don't base your friends on money. Yeah, watch out. All those friends that have nice big trucks. They even take you out to eat and they pay your meal. And be careful. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Remember the prodigal son? Fickle friends. Fair weather friends. I call them motorcycle friends. As soon as they do something that they don't like, forget about him. It's not very close. Don't choose your friends because of their looks. Got some good-looking people here. Or their personality, or their ability. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I've just been amazed at how pretty girls can really be in. Just because they're pretty. I mean, they're just sort of in. How can that be? I mean, if you know what I mean, do you get the idea? In. I don't know who decides what's in, but or a boy who plays volleyball and he plays it really good. Now he is cool. Really? Is that? Or if a fella has a late model truck, four-wheel drive, got all the bells and whistles, got to be a Chevy Duramax, right? Turbo. Now that's. Has nothing to do with being in. But somehow in our minds, it makes someone cool or in. What is really in and ought to thrill us is to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's being in. In Christ Jesus. Find your satisfaction, your security in knowing that you're in Christ. Not so much what your friends think is really neat and what draws attention, but what pleases my Lord. Proverbs give a lot of concern, a lot of warning about the immoral person. Oh, be careful. And we looked at that some the other evening. Don't compromise. Trade your purity, young people, for a little thrill out there the world has to offer. It'll bring you ruin and death. Bible says, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Any spirit that causes me to lose my grip on godliness is worldly. Worldly. 1 John 4. I don't know. I think I can relate this to friends. 1 John 4, verse 1 through 6. I'm just going to read a few verses in 1 John 4. It talks about the spirit. I think there's two spirits out there. And we want makes such a difference in our friends as to what spirit they have. 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits out there. Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Makes such a difference on the type of friendships. You know, relationships, friendships can really only be built on truth. Someone uses the untruth and it just, you don't trust them very far. You can't build a relationship around that. Build on truth. It's probably better to have no friends than to have the wrong kind of friends. Well, understand that friendships have limitations. We have a few more thoughts here. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. Proverbs 25:17. Here's some of those limitations. Lest he be weary of thee. Woo! I wish they'd go home. And so hate thee. You can overdo something. Sometimes you think you're just enjoying it so much. And the quickest way to wipe out a friendship is just to sponge in on it. Just keep sponging and just. But friendship should be giving where you give. Don't think you have to be with your friends all the time and visit really long and often. I encourage visitation. The Bible does too. Use hospitality one to another. But I think that's a little different than entertaining, where we plan ahead and we clean the house and we get the food ready and then we invite the people in. That's entertaining, somewhat. A New Testament definition or a picture of the Christian family fleeing persecution of Rome, walking into a town and seeking out a Christian family, appearing on their doorsteps unannounced, knocking on the door. Can we come in? Yes, come in. That's hospitality one to another. Let me encourage you. Let's serve one another. You lonely? Get your mind off yourself. Job was a lonely man too. And there in chapter 42 of Job, the Bible says Job all at once started praying for his friends. And the Lord turned the things around. Cultivate the attitude of the psalmist. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Are you a companion of people who fear God? Well, in closing, I want to remind you that God has a book. And in his book, in the book of Revelation, it says that he has a book. And in that book are the names of his friends. Are you in that book? Your name written there? It's in the book of life. Names of his friends. Will you stand with me and pray?